Well, guys, today on Father's Day, I just felt God wanted me to preach into a message titled The Father's Heart. The Father's Heart. And I actually just would like to open my message in prayer, if that's okay. And also, as Zoe said, recognizing that Father's Day is a day of joy and celebration for many, but it also can be a day of grieving for others. I know that today, maybe your father isn't with you any longer, or recently passed, it can be very painful, or maybe today, I know for many people, there's father gaps that kind of get a bit triggered on this day, which is a real thing of an absent father, an abusive father. Or maybe, and I know Ebony and I, it was quite a journey to become a dad and a mum. And so maybe you're here and you're trying to fall pregnant and it's just not working out as you'd hoped right now. I know that God is a God of supernatural comfort and peace. And even though we all will have father gaps, we have a heavenly father who fills every gap. And so can I just pray over us all as I begin this message? Precious heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness, that you are the perfect example of a father. And I pray for everyone on this day, whatever today holds, whether it is grief or celebration, pain or joy, Father, that you would just touch every single one of us in this service. More than anything, Father, I ask as we read the Word of God, as I talk about you as a father, I'm asking that your love would flow supernaturally into every heart. Lord, let this be a message that doesn't hit our head with knowledge and information. Let this be a message that hits our heart. Lord, your word says that we know you love us because you've given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with our love. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, you'd be doing that as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God's so good. Have you ever had a moment in your relationship with God? And maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God. I'm so glad you're here today. And just so you know, a bit later in the service, I'd love to give you an opportunity to begin one, which is the best decision you could make. But for those who are current followers of God, as you reflect, I'm sure as I do, there are so many moments that I would just call life-defining moments in God's presence. Maybe a moment as you reflect where God spoke to you and that one word he spoke transformed your life and future. Or maybe it was an encounter you had with God where it just shifted your heart. Well, I had one of these moments of all the places in the world on an aeroplane. I remember when I was about 18, I had just rededicated my life to God. So I was quite a new Christian. And where I was at 18, can I tell you, I was so in love with Jesus. I remember for me, like when I rededicated and encountered the God of heaven and earth, when I found his love for me, when I made Jesus my Lord and Savior, oh man, my heart fell in love with him. And I went all in. And my prayer is that even to this day, I'm running with the same passion. I was deeply, deeply passionate about God. I had gone all in, not just for my relationship with him, but I instantly began serving him. Because how could I not, because of what he had done in my heart? And so I'm serving, I'm leading a youth connect group, I'm involved in youth. I was on fire. But can I be honest with you guys? There was something I was really struggling with on the inside. So on the outside and in my heart, God was doing a deep work of transformation. And I was on fire and I was passionate. But on the inside, I had such a deep wrestle. And that wrestle is that I did not feel worthy. That wrestle was, even though I was on fire and I was going all in, on the inside, I'd have these dark moments where these whispers would come that, Dan, you're not good enough. Dan, you're not worthy of God's love. Who do you think you are serving God after all you've done? How could God love you after all you've done? And do you know that as we are transformed into the image of Jesus and you and I grow in our relationship with God, we will all go through these inner wrestles of different kinds. And this has happened to be my wrestle. And I really struggled with continual guilt, continual shame, and condemnation. And for me personally, I was doing the right things. I was on the journey, but I was struggling to feel loved by God. And that's something I want to talk about here today. So often in our journey is we know something up here in our head, but to feel it in our heart is actually something different. And so I knew God loved me. I knew the scriptures. I'd heard the messages. But on the inside, the truth was I struggled to accept that truth that God loved me. I struggled to feel accepted by God. And on the inside, I was running at 100 miles an hour trying to prove to God, trying to earn His love and prove that I was good enough. And so I'm on an airplane and not even thinking about this. I was just chilling and I was reading this big book. Okay, I have a book like this big written by a friend of mine named James Murray, and it was all about youth ministry. And so I'm like, hey, I got an airplane trip. I'm going to learn how to be a better youth leader. And I'm reading and Pastor James is quite creative. And so it was like all these arty things were in this book. It's not a normal book. It's like a child's book. I loved it. And I remember like yesterday, so I turned this page and this whole page was one scripture. And as I read that scripture, okay, I'm by myself in an airplane, someone to my right, someone to my left. It's like the word of God jumped out of that book, hit me in the heart, and I wept like a little baby in front of everyone on the airplane. I just like, you know how there's like, there's tears, there's crying, and then there's like ugly snot going everywhere. You're going red, the veins coming out, your skin, like I was weeping. And I'm like, these people next to me probably thought I was having a mental breakdown. I don't know, but I just kept going. I don't know what I did actually. But you know, that word transformed my life. The Word of God has power to transform everything about your life. And this one verse is what I call what we know as a rhema word, where the Word of God came alive to me through the Holy Spirit. And it is Matthew 3:17. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." That verse hit my heart, and all of a sudden a journey began for me, of knowing God loved me up here, but it started to get down into my heart. It started to mess with my belief system that, hey, actually, maybe God does love me just as I am. Maybe God does love me despite all my mistakes, despite I still made a mistake yesterday and a week ago and 2 weeks ago. And for me, I word it like this. It was a moment when He became the Father to my Father. It went from my head to my heart, from information to revelation. And I just want to encourage us here today that I hope that this message is some of us have that moment where He becomes the Father that we read about in the Bible, the Father of Jesus, the Father who created the heavens and the earth, where there's a moment where He goes from the Father to He's my Father, my Father. There's a quote that a great theologian said. His name's A.W. Tozer. And this quote is one of those powerful quotes I've ever heard. What comes to mind when you think about God is perhaps the most important thing about us. Can I say that again? I want you to think about this. So what comes to mind when you think about God? So pressing pause there. When we think about God, it's not what we think up here. It's our belief about God. And when we think about God, what we truly believe on the inside, underneath all our fears and insecurities and lies we've been told and our personal father gaps and religion and lies, what actually truly comes out when we think about God? When we're not in church, when we're all by ourselves, when we're going through a hard time, what comes to mind is perhaps the most important thing about us. And right now, I'm looking for someone who has glasses. Vito, can I borrow your glasses? They look nice and strong, baby. Thank you. Let's give Vito a hand talking to our great dads. Oh, yeah, they're nice and strong, baby. All right. Can you see me, Vito? No, that's okay. Thank you. I might fall off the stage now. All right. Oh, all right. I love this. So what I'm talking about here is I want you to imagine how you and I think about God is like the lenses on these glasses. And it's literally like the way we see life. Oh my gosh, Vita, they're amazingly strong. Sorry. I'm not. All right. I love it. But I want us to picture that. It's the truth. So if you and I view God the wrong way, we'll see everything in our life through that lens. How we think about ourselves, how we think about life, how we think about others, how we think about marriage and parenting and finances and health and wealth. It'll all come through here. And so the journey you and I need to go on as believers is asking the question, how do I view God? Because what happens for all of us is we have personal experiences with our own dad. And look, there is no perfect dad. Even if you had a great dad who was a Christian and even a pastor or something, they still had gaps. All the way to the other pendulum, if you had a father you never met who was abusive. We all have a personal experience with our dad. And we'll begin our journey with God, that'll be the lens through which we see God. My dad was like this, therefore the Heavenly Father must be like this. Or maybe you and I have a lens from a religious upbringing. We grew up in a church that was quite controlled by rules and religion. And if you do this, God will be mad. And if you do this, he'll be happy. Guess what? That's a lens to which we see God and therefore we'll see the rest of our life. There are lies from the enemy. He is a sneaky little... I can't swear in church. He's a sneaky little poo head. And that poo head has strategic lies he tries to plant in our heart and in our mind of how we see God. And guess what? If we're not aware of them and pull them out, that's the lens through which we see God and see our life. Our own fears and insecurities, our lack of understanding, all these things will be the lens to which you and I see God and therefore see life. So my question, thank you so much, Vito. My question for all of us here today, thank you, my friend, is how do you see God? How do I see God? What is the lens of which through we view him? And what you and I need to do, and this is never a journey that's tick and done. This is a journey into the rest of our life. You and I need to constantly go evaluate my lens. And what we need to do is ensure the lens we see God is through the Bible and the Word of God. It's through the truth, because the truth always sets us free. So if you want to know who God is, we need to go to the Bible and find out the truth of who he is. Not from a religious upbringing, not from what a pastor once told me, not from what a friend told me, not from the lies of the enemy, not from my own dad experience. I need to discover the God of heaven and earth through the Word of God, because that is the truth. Amen? And can I tell you, this will transform your life because it transformed mine. Because that then becomes the lens of I have a Heavenly Father who loves me, who's for me, who's on my side. Can you imagine the confidence you and I would live with every day when we get up? The first thing we think about is my God is with me and for me. I'm already loved and I'm already chosen. We walk into work and we know the lens I see life. I am anointed by God. I'm equipped to make a difference. He's with me. When a challenge comes, oh man, when we get sideswiped by life, the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. What does that mean? Storms of life will come. And imagine how you and I would go through storms if we worked out of that lens of, I know I have a Heavenly Father who loves me. So that's what we need to do, get the revelation of who God is. And today I just want to zoom into one aspect of God. And that is our Father, God the Father, and it can transform our life. So is that okay if I lean into that for a few more minutes? Is that good? What a great day to do it on Father's Day. The Father's heart, the Father's heart. I have three thoughts that God spoke to me about in that season and continues to that I love to encourage us with about who God is. Number one is a Father who loves. A Father who loves. Why don't you say that after me? Say a Father who loves. That verse that changed my life, let's read it together. Matthew 3:17. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son. Now, if you're a woman here, transform that. This is my dearly loved daughter who brings me great joy. The context of this is actually Jesus was either 29 or 30 years of age. So Jesus, as we all know, Jesus was God's one and only son. And he was born fully God and fully man. And actually, to think about that is he literally was born a baby who needed his diapers changed, right? He was born a baby who couldn't speak yet. He had to learn how to talk, learn how to walk, and Mary and Joseph raised him as a child. And then he entered primary school years, and he probably had he was sinless, but he was still a human. And so Jesus went through his 0 to 10 years, and then his 10 to 19, his teenage years, and then all of his 20s. And I don't know if you know this, Jesus did not do one miracle from 0 to 30. Jesus didn't do one thing necessarily for God that we read about anyway, that's recorded in the Bible. Everything we read about what Jesus did was from 30 and onwards. We get little snippets. There's one snippet of Jesus at 12, and he's in the tabernacle or the church. And he's literally giving a Bible study at 12 to the priests. That'd be like some 12-year-old sitting Pastor John and Dan down and going, I'm going to teach you about the Bible, people. And I love the confidence, but Jesus was hidden from 0 to 30. And before Jesus began his ministry, he, just like he asked all of us to do, he decided to get water baptized. And this isn't in my notes, but if you haven't been water baptized yet, we have an opportunity next Sunday. I'm so excited. And please let us know, because I believe every believer should get water baptized. Who knows if Jesus, the perfect Son of God, needed to get water baptized? We probably should too, right? It's a significant moment. So Jesus gets water baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And as he comes out of the water, remembering he still has not done anything for God. His ministry hasn't started. And that is where we read this verse. And a voice came from heaven, which was the voice of the Father publicly acknowledging his Son in front of all of his disciples. And the Father says, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." And what I love about this is it is obviously not based on what he has done. He's not saying, hey, you have served me. And you know, this wasn't when he was 33 before he's about to go to the cross, where he just laid down his life for his Father. This was before he had actually even begun ministry. God is saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And what that tells me is it was based on who he was, not what he does. And I know it's the exact same for you and I here today, friend. The Father's love for you and I isn't based on what we do, rather based on who we are. Jesus introduced God as the Father to us. In fact, in the Old Testament, it was quite rare that an individual would acknowledge God as Father. The word actually that Jesus used in the Greek, it's an Aramaic word that means Abba, which basically means dad, father, daddy God. It's an incredibly intimate word. And Jesus actually revealed God to us that he is our Abba, our Father. And we were created to be loved. I want you to imagine, like, when you and I were born, just imagine we were born with a hole in our heart. And there's only one thing that can fill that hole, and it is the love of our Abba, our perfect Father. And many people spend the rest of their life trying to fill that emptiness and fill that hole with love of other people, with the love of money, with whatever, you name it, and people try. But we will never be complete until we encounter that love personally. And in fact, that is what eternity will be. It'll be basking in the love of our Father as we worship Jesus Christ and his angels forever. And this is the unique thing, is God's love is different from human love. We've all been there, right? I won't say think of someone else. I'm going to say think of you. Think of moments when you have loved someone conditionally. And let's all be honest, we have all done it. Human love, unfortunately, can be very fickle. We can love when we feel loved. We can withdraw love when we feel rejected. Love from human, it comes and goes. And sometimes it is based on our behavior. Hey, I do good, I feel loved. I do bad, I feel unloved. And all of us experience in life the fickleness of human love. And what that means for us is that will not fill the hole we have. Yes, love is beautiful. Yes, things like marriage is outstanding and it's God's plan. But if you and I search for that place in our heart to be filled with other people, even if it is a godly marriage, we will be disappointed. Because human love is inconsistent, but the Father's love for us is consistent because it's not based on what we do. Can I share with you two lines that changed my thinking? let this hit your heart. God will never love you any more than he does right now. And at the same time, God will never love you any less than he does right now. It is everlasting. It is consistent for all eternity. And I just want to quickly, before I move on, dive into that. He will never love you any more than he does right now. What is the lie that is attached to this that we got to battle? And this is a generalization, but if you grew up in a religious experience or in church, even if it's a good church, I relate more to this side, is the lie is that I have to earn God's love. It's what the Bible calls works. I'm trying to earn the love of God. I'm trying to show him that I deserve it. But what this line and this truth means is actually nothing you and I can do to earn his love. There's nothing we can achieve to make him love us more. Because remember, Jesus received that love before he did anything, because it's based on who he was as a son. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. And so the truth here for us, friend, is there's nothing we can do to earn it. And so if you're on the treadmill of life going, I'm trying to earn God's love, I'm trying to show him that I deserve it, I'm trying to prove it, I'm trying to prove myself, I'm trying to earn it, that is a treadmill that gets us nowhere. And it's not God's plan for your life or my life. But then on the other end of the spectrum, there can be a thinking around, was God will never love me any less than he does right now. So the lie here is around condemnation. And they're similar, but they're different parts of the spectrum. Where over here, the lie is, when I make a mistake, God withdraws his love from me. And the Bible calls this condemnation, where we feel ashamed. And obviously there's healthy conviction. There's healthy moments where I need to change the way I live. But God has not called you and I to live under what the Bible calls condemnation, which is I'm over here and I just feel like I'm unworthy of God's love because of what I've done. I love this verse, Romans 8 verse 1. It says, there is now no condemnation. I think you should say that because that's good news. Say no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. This means you and I cannot lose God's love. It doesn't waver. It does, and I'll talk about it in a moment. That doesn't mean we can just spend our life sinning and doing all we want to do. That's not what we're trying to learn here. What we're trying to learn here is his love for you and for me. It is consistent through every season of our life. When we're winning and doing really well, but also after our deepest mistake we've ever made, his love is there. And just one last verse. I'm throwing some Bible at you, people. Romans 8, 38, 39. This is Paul writing. Check this out. If this gets in your heart, man, and my heart, it can change your life. Paul says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is good news, people, because there is nothing that we can ever do. There is nothing that any demon or angel or anything on this earth or this universe can do that can separate you and I from the love of God. And so that means no matter who you are here today, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter the mistake you made last week, no matter what you looked at last night, no matter what is going on in your life right now, there is nothing that can separate you from his love for you. Can we give God 2 seconds of praise if you're thankful for that? He's good. He loves us. And I'm going to go to my next point, but I just thought, because it's Father's Day, really quickly, what can we learn as dads from this? I believe our Heavenly Father is the perfect blueprint of what you and I as earthly fathers can try to replicate and do in our own families. Now, we will never be, obviously, in that place, but we can learn. And so just some quick thoughts out of this is, Our number one role as dads is to love our children. To love our children. Not with a conditional love, but to the best of our ability, which will always fall short, but with an unconditional love. The key is not that we think we're loving our children, but that they are feeling loved by us. There's such a difference there. Because many parents, we can think we're loving our children, but they don't feel that love. And so a great question for us to reflect on is, do each of my children feel loved by me as a dad? Just quickly, so many mentors have recommended to me, learn the 5 love languages. Every child will receive love in different ways. For some, it's physical touch and a wrestle and a hug. For others, it's a gift. For others, it's quality time. For others, it's acts of service. And for others, it is words of affirmation. And as dads and mothers, by the way, if we learn that, we can give love how they listen to it. And the sad truth that I've heard from mentors is if they don't find love from us as dads, particularly daughters, they will go looking for it in the wrong places. Confidence comes from a place of love. Our children will be confident. I know Brave will be confident if Eb and I can create an atmosphere where you are loved, buddy, just as you are. And one last, I love this quote. Love is spelt for a child, T-I-M-E. As children are young, the number one way we can love them is through time. All right, number 2, a father who accepts. Say it after me, a father who accepts. Every heart asks this question, am I good enough? Am I enough? Am I loved for who I am? And the good news, once again, about our Heavenly Father is He accepts us just as we are. He accepts us. Isaiah 41 verse 9, he's talking to Israel. He said, I took you from the ends of the earth, from the farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and I have not rejected you. We need to live out of an absolute conviction that we know our Father will never reject us. But in the opposite, He accepts us. The Bible says in Ephesians that we've been made accepted in the Beloved. Because of Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross, you and I have been adopted into God's very own family. We are sons and daughters of God. And what I love about this is the position of a son and a daughter is one of acceptance. It's one of I'm already accepted. I know this is silly, but imagine with Brave, right? As you heard, my new son. If like one day I wake up and he slept well and he behaved and he didn't poo on me and he didn't vomit on me and I go, you're my son, I love you. Like, you're welcome in our home. I accept you. But then the next day when he keeps me up all night and he does poo on me and sorry for anyone who's not a dad yet, it happens. And he does vomit on me and whatever. And then I go, you're not my son anymore. How could you do that to me? I know this is stupid. But some of us actually approach God with that mindset. When I'm good, you accept me. When I'm bad, you reject me. That is not the position of a son of God and a daughter of God. The position of a son and a daughter is one of I'm already accepted by my Heavenly Father, no matter what I do. Ephesians 1 verse 5, I'm just going to go through it all. Okay, verse 3, Ephesians 1 verse 3 to 8, I'm going to speed read the Word of God, but go home and chew on it. All praise to God, Paul said, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. This is one of the richest passages of Scripture in the Bible. Verse 4, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Check this out. Verse 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into His very own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and He gave Him great pleasure. Isn't that amazing, friend, that God paid the ultimate price by sending Christ, who died in our place, so that you and I could be adopted as sons and daughters into His very own family? So today, let that truth hit our hearts. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. He loves me just as I am. He accepts me as I am because I'm a son and a daughter. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to prove it. I can't lose it. I am loved. I've been made accepted. And as I said earlier, does that mean we live our life abusing the grace that Jesus gives us? Because some people do that. Well, if I could be forgiven for all my sin, why don't I just spend my entire life sinning, not caring about God, and then at the last second, I'm just going to say sorry. Like, that is not the point of this, right? That's not what the Bible's trying to tell us. Jesus accepts us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us as we are. And so we still go on this journey of transformation, right? We still in our heart go, I don't want to sin. I want to become more like Jesus. But we're not doing that out of a place of trying to earn my place as a son and a daughter. I'm doing it out of a place of devotion to God. Why do I want to live a holy life? When I was 18, it was because I was trying to earn God's love. I was trying to prove to him that I am enough, so I'm going to be perfect. And of course I wasn't. And then I'd feel ashamed and guilty and he hates me and oh my gosh. But now, hopefully I've matured a little bit. I'm not perfect. Why do I want to live a holy life now? Because I am astounded at his grace for me. I'm devoted to him as a disciple. I love you, Jesus. And so therefore, I want to live a life that pleases you. Not trying to earn my salvation. Not trying to earn my place as a son, but because I love you. And I think there's a great lesson for us as dads there, that let's love our children and accept them unconditionally, without condition. You are accepted. You are my son and my daughter. We need to be a safe place for them, just to be them, to have no masks on, just to be them and be loved and accepted. But also, as Jesus does to us, we see potential in them and help coach them to become the greatest versions of them that they could be. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be both. And as I finish here today, repeat after me one last time, a father who protects. When I was about 10 or 11, and dear Lord Jesus, I pray Brave has Ebony's personality, Ebony's behavior, Ebony's love and honor of her parents, because I was a little bit of a schmuck when I was like 10 or 11, and probably still am. But at the time, I remember this day like yesterday. It was just a normal day. My mum picked my brother and I up from school. And as a normal day, as a big brother, I annoyed my brother the whole way home. I was probably punching him, flicking him, throwing things at him, you know, being just a little naughty boy. And so that day, which probably happened a lot of days, my mum said, when we get home, you need to go straight to your room. I was in trouble. And so we pull up to our house in Canberra, and I'll never forget this moment. It's like in my brain. I'm the first to leave the garage because I'm in trouble. I got to go to my room. So I open the door, and the house just looks a little bit different than it normally does, right? Like there's like shelves open. I keep walking past the kitchen and everything. You can just see it's been like a bit scrummaged and all the shelves are open. And I walk past my TV and my PlayStation 1 is missing, okay? I don't know if you're that old, people, but PS1, PlayStation 1 was missing. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? But oh, maybe my dad just took it away. He pre-punished me. And so I'm walking to my bedroom and then there's like all this graffiti on the wall, like someone had graffitied our wall. And I'm like, what's going on here? And by the time I'm just about at the door, all the way at the other end of my house, it hit me that I think that someone's been in our house and we've been robbed. And I can't even put into words the fear that entered my heart as I started screaming and running back to my mom. And my dad wasn't home and she was panicking. We didn't know if he was still in the house or what had gone on. But do you know, that day, I know it doesn't sound like much, but for me, I was probably more like 8. It was such a traumatic moment in my life. I remember vividly, like, just the feelings of fear and just can't wait for Dad to get home and the police to come and whether we're safe. And that night, I accidentally overheard some stories of the policeman talking to my mum about how just down the road, someone was beaten to death with a baseball bat. And honestly, as an 8-year-old, my mum didn't know I could hear. Fear entered me. And for at least the next 2 to 3 years, I would be absolutely petrified to fall asleep. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and someone was in my room and I would scream at the end of my lungs until my dad would come in. I just remember so vividly, like every night I would struggle to sleep. I was so afraid, so scared, and probably looking back now, probably a bit demonic as well. But do you know what I remember more than anything about that season? When I'm lying in bed, my mum would just put me down on my dad and I'd start, the fear would come. I'd go, oh, is someone going to rob us? Is someone going to come grab me? Is someone going to come beat me with a baseball bat? I'd be just running around as an 8-year-old in my mind. But if I could just hear my dad, if he was doing the dishes and I could hear that he was awake, if he was watching TV, if he was talking to my mum, as soon as I could hear my dad doing anything, oh, my soul would just go to peace and I'd fall asleep. The same thing would happen in the middle of the night when I'd scream and scream and scream because someone's in my room. As soon as my dad entered, oh, my fear would leave. Do you want to know why? Because I knew my dad loved me. I knew my dad would protect me if there was anything wrong, and I felt safe around my dad. And I believe this is a wonderful picture of our Heavenly Father for you and I in life. That if my Father is with me, imagine how we would live life if we would trust that He would protect us. And I will never forget that feeling of feeling safe when my dad was around. And I really believe that this is who our Heavenly Father is. As a good Father, as our Heavenly Father, He has promised us time and time again that He will protect us, that He will personally fight for us. The Bible says if He is for us, who could be against us? And I just want to encourage us here today, we should live life with no fear because we have a Father who protects us. 1 John 4:18, as I finish, says there is no fear in love. I'll just invite the keyboardists up, please. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. What a wonderful promise from our Heavenly Father. That once we discover the love of God for ourselves, once we discover who our Heavenly Father is, this love, it actually casts out our fear. Because even though I feel afraid of this situation, my trust in my Father is greater than my fear in the circumstance. My Father has my back. And He is the greatest power in all the earth. If the God of heaven and earth, our Heavenly Father, if He's for me, who could be against me? No man, no woman, no child, no demon. Nothing could be against me that is greater than my God. And this is who our God is, friend. He's a Heavenly Father who protects us. And just quickly, what can we do as dads? This is my aspiration. We need to be a safe place for our children. We need to be the protectors of our home and our families and communicate that. And our prayer as dads is if they know how much we love them, that they would feel safe, they would feel protected, and they would feel confident. We need to fight for our families and our children. Just here as we close, can I just ask to sort of close our eyes? I've spoken about three things here today. A father, this is the Father's heart for us. Our Father's heart for us, a Father who loves. I am loved just as I am. Nothing can separate me from it. A Father who accepts us. I have been made accepted in the Beloved. I've been adopted into His family. He will not reject me. I am enough, just as I am. And number three, a Father who protects. I don't need to be anxious. I don't need to be afraid. No matter what happens on this life, I have a Heavenly Father who knows the numbers of hairs on my head. He watches over me day and night, every moment of my life. And right now, can I just get us all to reflect in our heart? I'm sure out of those three, at least one of them really would have spoken to you. And you just feel the Holy Spirit trying to tweak the lens in your glasses. I feel the invitation of the Holy Spirit saying to you, hey, in this area, maybe, just maybe, there's been a belief in your heart about who God is that isn't the truth from the Word of God. And so can we all just take one moment to reflect? Say, God, what are you speaking to me about this morning? Lord, help us to see you. Father, help us to see you for who you truly are. Not just with our head and our physical eyes, but Lord, in our spirit, that we would believe the Word of God, that you do love us, you do accept us, you will protect us, we are loved. This is my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom you are well pleased. That is the heart of God for everyone in this room right now. You are his beloved daughter, his dearly loved son, in whom he is well pleased, who brings him great joy. And just lastly, Lord, I just ask, Holy Spirit, fill each of us afresh with the love of God. Right here, right now, the love of the Heavenly Father, the greatest love that has ever been known to man, just let it fill each of us here this morning by the Holy Spirit. I just see a vision of lies just beginning to be washed away. I see like a picture of nails. There's been lies nailed to people's hearts, and you've tried to remove them by your own strength. But as right now the Holy Spirit flows and the love of God pours over you, I just see those nails evaporating before God. Every lie we take captive now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I bind every spirit of condemnation. Lord, I bind every spirit of rejection. Lord, I bind every evil spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And I release your Holy Spirit to bring the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And just before I finish, you might be saying, Dan, this is so powerful. Maybe God just spoke to you. But how, what do I do next? That's a whole nother message, but just one key is you and I need to now go to work of letting the Word of God transform our mind. Be renewed by the transforming of your mind. And how do we do that? Two ways: the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart. And so every morning when you spend time with God, let the first thing you do begin to speak the Word of God. This is what I do every single morning when I pray. The first thing I do is, God, I am your beloved son in whom you're well pleased. I thank you, God, that you love me just as I am today. I've got nothing to prove, nothing to earn, nothing to lose. You love me. I've been made accepted in the beloved. And I begin to speak the word of God. I speak the truth. And you would have noticed, I make it I am. It's not that God you love. I am loved by God. And as you speak the word of God and the truth and you meditate on it, every morning I just picture God the Father running to me, embracing me. That's the meditation of my heart. As we do those two things, our mind will be transformed and we will live in this new lens in which we see God. Amen. Guys, can we please give God a hand if you're thankful for our Father's heart for us? And I hope you found this message encouraging on this Father's Day.